Living the spirit life through what? Prayers. Now, you do know that the spirit life is the Christian life. There is no other life you live as a Christian except the spirit life of Christ. Jesus is not flesh. Jesus is a spirit. God is a spirit, and Jesus is a spirit. He was here in the flesh, but when he resurrected, he went back to the glory he had with the Father before the creation of the world. So the spirit life is the life that will benefit you as a Christian. Anything that is in the flesh will profit you what? Nothing. So we don't even have an option here. There's no option to this. Anything that a man does in the flesh will profit him nothing. It's only the things that is done by the Spirit that will benefit us. So we might as well really have serious interest in this living in the Spirit, living the Spirit life. Yesterday at the believers' meeting, our brother was sharing with us how he began to think about it, that God has been pointing us to the Spirit of God for the last 3 years. And he said, and now he's bringing us to living the Spirit life. And then the Lord began to give him a very powerful message for us yesterday, which I don't, it's not part of our teaching. But I never really realized that the Lord has been focusing on the Holy Spirit and the Spirit life. And now finally bringing this thing to where it should be, because all the fellowship we have with the Holy Spirit brings us to knowing Christ and living the life of Christ. That's the ultimate of all of these things. Miracles are good, wonderful. But the life we live is more important to God than the miracles it does. Can I hear amen? So every Christian must be interested in living the Christian life. And so it has to be something that is a consuming desire for us. If you do not have purpose as a Christian, you'll be beaten about the bush. You'll be somebody who has no destination whatsoever. You will not achieve much as a Christian. You must be a Christian who lives on purpose. You must have something you set out to achieve. There has to be something that is burning in your heart that you want to see happen in your life. Otherwise, nothing will be happening. Because these things come from desire. It comes from desire. There has to be something. In 2020, there has to be something that you are so eager to see happen in your life. If there is nothing you are in pursuit of, then you catch nothing. If there's nothing you are pursuing, you are just living your life, anything that the day brings. There's one man in our village, not in our village, in his village. They call him Ihechi Fotele. That is anything that the morning brings. It's called Baakumi life. You don't live that kind of life. That's exactly what Paul was warning the church, that you don't beat about the bush. You don't run like running like nothing. See, you have to run according to order. Everything has to be, there has to be a purpose. There has to be somewhere you're heading. If somebody stops you now and says to you, what are your expectations for 2020? What do you really expect that God will do? Where is your life headed? What is your utmost desire for 2020? This should be number one. I'm telling you, I've seen, because I've been around a long while, that Christians have no purpose. They just wake up and anything. That's it. You don't succeed as a Christian that way, not even living out the great potential that God has put in your life. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you can walk in the blessings of God, but you're going to lose a lot of battles because there's nothing you are really in pursuit of. Amen? I said amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:2. See Paul's determination in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determine, which means a pre-purposed determination, that this is what I need to do. I determine not to know anything among you, save Jesus what? Crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified. I said, this is what I determine to do. And why is that? Because Paul lived with a purpose. Paul had a purpose. He wasn't just living his life, you know, whenever time starts fasting, we fast. Time to go to church, you go to church, you know, do this. No. Paul was in pursuit of something. And he this is one of them. And he said it also in Philippians 3, 7. Yet, whatever gains, I think this is New Revised Standard Version, but if you don't have it, I can take any one you give me. New Living Translation can do. Okay, this is new. I don't know what NASB means. New American Standard Version. I've not tried it. But give me New Living Translation if you have that. That's verse 7. I once thought that these things were valuable, that the things he was pursuing before was the law and everything the law prescribed. He was a very, very, very committed law human being. His whole life was after the law. And if you didn't follow the law, he'll come after you, put you in jail. He had the great zeal for the law. Now he said, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. Why? Because my purpose has changed because of what Christ has done. And look at what he said in verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So you can see what his pursuit was. It was to know who. So you can see why he said, when I come, I don't want to know anything except Christ crucified. He never allowed anything to deviate him from his pursuit. Never. Never. He said, there's nothing that compares with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That was his primary purpose. And are you now surprised that Paul had abundance of revelation? Is it not if you seek, you will find? I mean, it's so different from somebody who just comes to church. What? Nothing in pursuit of nothing. This man was in pursuit of the knowledge of Christ. He said, for his sake, I've discarded what? Everything else. Counting it all as garbage. Why? So that I can gain Christ. I want to know him. I want to gain him. I want to share my life with him. I want to get everything he has for me. And verse 9. And become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on, continue to verse 10. I want to know Christ. You see, finally he spelled it out. I want to what? Know Christ. Finally, he spelled his plan and purpose out. I desire to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to walk in the power of Christ. I want to walk in this thing. I want to suffer with him. He said, whatever it costs me, that's it. Because I want to experience the same suffering he suffered and share in his death, in his total dependence on God in his life. You can see a man's heart desire. You can see a man's heartbeat here. And if you look at Paul's life, you can see that he achieved all of these things. The Spirit of God manifested all of these things in his life. That was why there was no apostle near him in Revelation, because they didn't have the same pursuit like him. There was none like him. The Bible said, if you seek, you will what? You'll find. The kind of revelation he had, Peter didn't even understand it. And yet, he never saw Jesus. But Peter didn't understand what this man was saying. He had incredible insight into who Jesus was, because that was his desire. So what I'm trying to say is that we cannot live a purposeless Christian life where you just wake up in the morning, you know, anything. No, there has to be something that's burning in your heart. There has to be something you can spell out. And God says, what do you really want? He said, I want to know Christ. I want to live the Spirit life. Then, believe you me, you see God teaching you how. Because he will give you the desires of your heart if you delight in the Lord. Amen? I said amen. And so the scripture began to teach us something very, very interesting. That part of the way that we develop our Christian life and live the Spirit life is through prayer. Prayer plays a very important role in the life of a Christian. And so in Ephesians 6 verse 18, King James Version, it says, praying always with all prayer. Praying always with all prayer. Praying sometimes. No. Praying how? Always. With what? All prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So the scripture is teaching us that the Christian has to pray always. Always. With all prayer. Which means it's not one type of prayer that you pray. The Holy Spirit said you got to pray all the range of prayer that the Spirit of God has revealed to the church. They were revealed to us, so we pray them. So we use them. And the Christian must know the prayer that's adequate for the situation he's talking about. Because not every prayer works. It's not the same type of prayer you pray all the time. There's prayer you pray for particular circumstances. It works for you. If you mix it up, you fail. That's why the Bible says that all prayer. We need to pray all prayer. Not so. Not so. And it's to be regretted that the Christians don't even know all these prayers that the Holy Spirit gave us to be praying. Not talk of engaging them. But the Holy Spirit says the Christian must pray always with all prayer. All prayer. All of it. All of it. Very important that we do them, because that's the way to also live the Christian life. Our Lord Jesus told us to Matthew 26 verse 41. Matthew 26 verse 41. Watch and pray. Matthew 26 verse 41. Watch and pray. Why? That you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but you see the problem is what? The flesh is weak. So our Lord Jesus said the answer to that is that the Christian must watch and the Christian must what? Pray. So that you don't get into temptation that will overwhelm you and drain your life. Watch and pray. Can we say that together? Watch and pray. Now look at Luke 21, 38. Our Lord Jesus again says, watch you therefore and pray always. Praying always with all prayer. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So the Holy Spirit says to pray always. And our Lord Jesus said, we must pray always so that we'll escape what is happening now. And brethren, a lot is happening now. It's getting harder and harder to be a Christian. It's getting harder and harder. And many churches are compromising. Many. It's getting harder. There's so much deceit. Exactly what the Spirit of God said. That in the last days there will be so much preponderance doctrines of Satan. Because he knows the days are coming to an end. He said there's going to be preponderance doctrines of Satan. Out to deceive people. There's going to be compromises. There's going to be serious compromises. Even from Christian leaders, bishops and things. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you know that they are starting what they call a new religion, a new world order, a new religion. They call it one world religion. Do you know who is organizing it? The Pope. You know who is involved? Muslims from Dubai. In fact, the document was written in Dubai. You know who's there? Professors, sociologists, psychologists. There's no Bible. And they started to teach it in some countries. Why they say that we need to be one another, remove all these things that people don't like. And what did the scripture say? There's no meeting point between light and darkness. There's no fellowship. You can't have fellowship with Satan. It's not going to happen. So you can imagine what will happen to millions of people who follow this man. And come to Pentecostal organizations. There's so much deceit going on. There is so much deceit going on. There's so much doctrine that is not of the Bible. And they are popular. especially regarding prayer. All manner of things come from people's mouth, call it prayer. The greatest movement now is prayer movement by telephone in the morning. It's everywhere. Somebody said the prophecy they gave the person in prayer is causing him confusion. I said, don't bother me with that. Did I send you there? Go. Be praying there. I'm telling you. There is preponderance, and the scripture is so clear on this. There is going to be doctrines of what? Demons. And the Bible says, if you want to escape these things, pray. And look at what is happening in the colleges. Say we're in America here now. The universities and colleges, you can't even begin to believe what they teach our youth there. Godlessness, atheism. What is atheism? Atheism? Yeah? Belief of God. So popular. So popular. In fact, if you're a Christian, they look at you as that you are dumb. And they didn't start today. Do you remember when Paul was preaching, I think Ephesus or so, he met some philosophers. A peculiar philosophers. You know how they describe Paul? He says he's a babbler. He's blabbing, talking nonsense. He's still today. That's what I'm telling you. The devil mocks your faith. All these professors, well-educated professors, they mock us. They think we have no intelligence. That it's people that are stupid that believe this kind of thing. I'm telling you, even in corporate America, I'm telling you the truth. It's going to be harder to buy from all these top companies you see. Because now they're itching out Christian something, itching out Christian something. Itching out. They were going to give us computers for people to share free. The company said, we're not giving you your church. That's the reason. Your church. Because your church, we're not giving you. And so the Bible says we need to pray, brethren. We need to pray. You need to pray for yourself, pray for your children. Don't send them to school and just cross your leg and say they're in America. Forget it. There are only two places to be in this world. Either in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of darkness. Did your children go to kindergarten? Look, I thought this school should have been filled with people who know what they're doing. I want to send my children to Christian school where there's prayer. And you have these young children you have. Why don't you look for where there's prayer and bring them? Say, to keep my in the environment. In the environment where I know, where I, a doctor that's a Christian. One brother called me and said, I took my daughter to a doctor and we had time to pray. I said, that's why I want to go. I want to find a Christian doctor who prays before he practices. That's where I want to go. Because I don't know where this one is coming from. He said, Pastor, he said, when I came, he said, bro, can we pray? I said, what? He's asking, can we pray? We can pray here. And we stood in his office and held hands and began to pray for my daughter. For my daughter. And then one of the doctors in Canada, my uncle's wife, he told me, he said, brother, when they bring me a baby, he said, when I lay hands on the baby, the parents don't know. He said, I'm dedicating them to God. He said, I keep dedicating them to God, all of them. And the practice is flooded with patients. He said, they don't know. I just laid hands on this baby. I said, Lord, get this one. I dedicate. He said, they won't hear me. Because if they hear me, it's trouble. He said, but I keep dedicating them to the Lord. I keep all. He said, you don't pass my office unless I he said, as I'm examining them, they don't know. I put my hands on them. And then I said, Lord, get this one. I dedicate this soul to you. This soul belongs to you. In Jesus' name, I claim this soul. He said, that's all I do. It's a battle. It's a battle. So we need to pray. The Bible says we need to pray. Watch ye therefore and pray what? Always. Am I talking of the system they set up? After you walk in this country, you have no energy. They set it up in such a way that you walk yourself out and come home. You don't have time for any other. They say Americans live to walk. It's a system, world system set up. Let's read that Luke 21:36 again. So our Lord Jesus knows what he's saying. Watch ye, Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore, and what? Pray how? Always. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. So if you don't pray, you fall prey. Either you pray, escape, or you don't pray, you fall prey. Pray is P-R-E-Y. You fall prey. Praise the Lord. And why do we pray? The scripture says that the prayer of the righteous makes much power available. I found out something. Studying the scripture is good. Studying the scripture is very good. But prayer brings the anointing. So you go with the word and the anointing. You're balanced. Studying the scripture is good, but prayer releases the anointing on you. They all have their places in your life. And it's not just any prayer. It's not just babbling anything. It's not just about any prayer. It's not every prayer that makes power available. It's not just anything you say, no. And so in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great, what? Power. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has what? Great power. And produces what? Wonderful result. Has great power. Produces wonderful result. Now look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, I'll tell you the prayer of the righteous, the prayer of the Christian produces power. It produces power. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled, what? With the Holy Spirit. The anointing comes when you pray. Anointing comes when you pray. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Speak the word of God with boldness. And so, it's important that we know the place of prayer in our living the spirit life. Now, that's why I said it's not just any type of prayer. For instance, selfish prayer doesn't work with God at all. You cannot go to God and begin to pray about your will and what is not his will. Prayer is not designed for God to serve you. God can't serve you, human being. Prayer is designed for the will of God to be established and performed. If your prayer is outside his will, you're wasting your time. He won't be involved. That's why the scripture says that if you ask anything according to what? His will. That's what he will answer you. But if it's outside his will, forget it. You can't go to God and say, Lord, I want to marry pastor's wife. He won't give you. If I hear that prayer, I will come there while you're praying and pour hot water on your head. He won't give you now. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. He won't give you. If you go there, the children will come after you. Before I come. Onyeka has finished you, sir, before I come. All those big boys, they fight you before I come. So what I'm trying to say here is that it's obvious that you can't ask God what is not his will. Because God will never violate his will. Violation of God's will is sin. God will not commit sin because of a human being. He's not going to violate his will because his word does not change. His word changeth not. So how can he change it? It's his word. He can't change. He can't violate it. And prayer, like I was saying, I keep saying it, prayer is not for you to move this hand of God. It's all this prideful statement. I don't know why people learn all these things. Say, we move the hand of God. Really? You must be super God yourself. Nobody moves his hand. Can I hear amen here? He said in the book, I think Isaiah, he said, who gives me counsel? He said, who tells me what to do? He said, I do what I want. Nobody tells me anything. He said, nobody tells me what to do. So you can't go and say, I told God to do this. I told God to do this. You know, Moses thought, he would say to God, see all these people. He said, if you do this to them, people will say, you are not able to deliver them. You know, when he said, I wipe these people out. Moses said, God, no. If you do this, the people will say you are not able. As if to God, God doesn't it. You know, they were all wiped out. All of them were wiped out. Exactly what God told Moses, he did it. Moses didn't know that God knew everything before he was born. So he was trying to correct God and say, how can you do this thing now? People will say, think God is interested in what people say. No, read your Bible. None of them got to that promised land. They all died there. All of them. And God raised a new people. So prayer is not to go and correct God and come out and say, we'll move God. You move nothing. You move your ignorance. Amen? I said amen. So God has no interest in prayer that is selfish. Selfishness is the core nature of the flesh. Selflessness, love is selfless. God's love is selfless. Human nature, selfish, is selfish. It's selfish, totally selfish. It's about me and me and me and me. Look at James 4:2. You lost and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Then verse 3 says, you ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may do what? Consume it upon your lust. Endless desire for yourself. It's lost. God doesn't support that kind of project. Let me read it in Amplified here. Let me read verse 3 in Amplified. It said, or you do ask God for them, and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in your sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives, having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So he said, you can't act like the world. You can't. The world is selfish. They don't have the love of God in them. Everything is about them. So you can't bring it to God and say, Lord, endorse this kind of thing. God will not endorse it. God will not endorse it at all. I'm telling you the truth. God has blessed you with a good work. You have good job coming, salaries coming in. And it's all about you and your family. And you go to God, you say, I want promotion. He won't work. He won't get it. Because the one he gave you, you are being selfish about it. So you think he'll give you more, so you become more selfish. So you go and load it up in your bank. You load it up in your bank. Which kind of God will support? Even human beings who know what they're doing will support that kind of thing. It doesn't work that way. That's why when you give, God gives you more. When you release this thing in the will of God, God gives you more. You create room and God's giving you. If you really trust that God is your source, giving will be cheap for you. Very easy for you to give. You won't bother about giving. It will be your lifestyle. Because you know that God will supply your needs. Amen? I said amen. One time I had only 50 naira. And don't laugh at me, my friend. I had only 50 naira one time. Then 50 naira was something. And that 50 naira was my precious bank, home and abroad. Everything I had was that 50 naira. And it meant everything for me. And then Sunday morning, the Lord said, take that 50 naira to church. I said, Lord, that's all I have. He said, I know, take it to church. Hey! Brother, if you walk with the Holy Spirit, these things happen. I'm telling you, I took it to church. And immediately I walked in, he said, give it to that brother there. And I went and handed the boy the thing. Very sad. Very, very sad. So when he took it from me, I thought I said, he's even taking it. He took it. Honestly, I was sad. I went and sat down. I was so sad. I said, the only thing I have, no food in my house. I didn't have food. I had nothing. I'm not kidding you. So, after service, here I was like a chicken that brain has beaten. Me and my wife, I were going home. And this brother ran after me. Ah, he said, praise the Lord, oh. I looked at him somehow. This one. He said, I've been praying for 50 naira. And the Lord said, I'll give it to you in church today. He said, that's all I needed to make up my school fees. And I'm going back to school now. I wouldn't have gone back if I didn't have this one. I got excited. And he was so excited, he followed us home. The man followed, he was so excited, he walked home with us. And went and eat the small food we had. Ate it with us, very excited. He was very happy. Very, very excited, went home with us. You know one thing I have always not understood? Why is it that God, when he needs to meet financial needs, he doesn't usually use rich people? Have you found it in the Bible? He will use those who... I found out that's an opportunity for him to lift them up. It's always an opportunity to lift them up. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. If he prompts you to give, you are in good, you are, men, rejoice. Just give it and be a fool. You may not see anything immediately, but when it flows like this, we won't contain it. I've told people, I said, the blessing of God will pass your lifetime. God doesn't do small things. You go beyond your lifetime, go to your children, beyond your children. But because we don't know the power of God, we think God is a human being. He's not a human being. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. It's all about this selfish thing. Selfish thing. Especially in money thing. You have all this. I can imagine a Christian has $100,000 in his account. And we're talking about Christian charity. People who don't eat, he's sitting there. I'm not kidding. What kind of Christianity is that? He's sitting there. He's sitting there. Do you know every money God will use in his project is right there? It's not coming from heaven anymore. It's there. People are sitting on it. One time they wanted to raise money for mission or something. And the Lord said that pastor. He said, no, the money is there. Don't raise nothing. Tell them to release my money. He said, don't even pray about it. Tell them what I said. They should release the money I gave them for my work. And when he told them, within 1 hour, they had all the money. He said, why are you asking me? I gave it to my people. I gave it to my people. They're sitting on it in selfishness. Thinking it's for them. It's not for you. Praise the Lord. This is quiet. I say, praise the Lord. It's not for you. And if you don't release it, God will bypass you and you miss the thing. And don't let God count you out of his program because he does it. If you don't release it at a point, he will ignore you and find somebody who's willing and transfer that your money to him. Give it to the person. He said, Jesus said to the Jews, he said, this kingdom will be taken to you and given to a nation who will bear fruit of it. I'm not kidding you. It happens. You see things going south financially for you. And you don't know why. Because you're a kingdom that is not fruitful. And God has cut off this one and given it to somebody who is. Do you think if God wants to pay for this church, you think he will release the money from heaven dropping like a dollar? No, you give it to somebody. Who do you think he will give it to? The person who will... Because you go and prompt the person, so write the check now. That's why I gave you this one. It's for this. Give it to them. Praise the Lord. There's a brother in this church. I won't call his name. One time we needed to change our size of food. I mean, something is here. So he called me after service. He said, Pastor, I was planning for a party for my wife. I had 7,005. And the Lord said to me, that money is not for party. It's for those things they want to buy. And you take it to them this evening. I didn't give you that money to party. He said, I want it to be used to buy my stuff. I want to buy something. It's me wanting to buy something. That's why I gave you that money. I said, well, if you gave it for buying it, then give it to them to buy it. You wanted to do party for your wife. He said, Pastor, I've lost interest in the party since he told me. So I'm bringing it to church on Monday. So they buy. I think we need to buy some of these things. And we use it to buy them. And come and see what God did for him after that. It was amazing. So selfishness must go. It's not the life. God, for God so loved the world that he gave what? He's only the only one he has. He gave us everything. Gave us everything. And we have the same spirit. And we are. Let me show you something. Look at Acts 4. Let's go back there. Let me show you something. These are the Christians we are talking about. Acts 4 verse 33. And with great power, With great power, that's after they prayed. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was there upon them all. That 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. None lacked. Why? For as many as were possessors of what? Lands and what? Houses. What did they do? Sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Did you think Peter made any announcement and said, we need money here? They didn't do anything. They prayed, the anointing came on them. The Holy Spirit began to move them. The Spirit of God began to move them. Do this. I want this thing done. The anointing was much on them. They were acting as the Spirit was inspiring them. That's love, the love of God that gives everything. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Nobody lacked anything. Nobody. Is it? You think the church is the same today? Nobody's answering me. You think the church is the same today? Huh? So are you surprised they were getting the result we are not getting today? They turned the whole world upside down. Are you surprised? So it's not just any type of prayer we're talking about here. We're talking about a prayer that focuses on the will of God, on the purpose of God. For instance, prayer that says to the Lord, I want to know Christ. Open my eyes. Look at some of them. James, look at some of them now. Before we go to that, I want us to show us the Lord Jesus Christ, his life. The Lord Jesus Christ, his life. If we look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17 first. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Be in constant communion with the Spirit of Christ. Be in constant communion. Be in constant what? Communion. Commune with him about everything, all the time. Focus on his presence and talk with him. Be in constant communion with him. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord, lived the same way. John 5:19. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showed him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. What is Jesus saying? He said, I'm in constant communion with my Father. I know I can do nothing of myself. So I'm always in constant communion. So he shows me what he's doing. Because I want to know. So that the Son can do the same. Constant communion with his Father. And then you say, Pastor, how do you know his prayer? Okay, read the next one. Read John 5:30. It says, John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own again. I judge as God tells me. I can do nothing, what? Oh my God. But I judge as what? God tells me. Which means I'm in communion with him. He tells me. He guides me. He tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will. I'm not moving his hand. I'm not moving his hand, though. I'm carrying out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. See, no selfishness here. My desire is not my own will, but his will. That's the prayer that works. That's the prayer that works. It's constant coming. He said, he tells me, he shows me. Constant coming. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. You know how we got here? Let me tell you what communion with the Holy Spirit does. I was in the office, and then there was this appointment they made, and I wanted to go and tell them that this girl doesn't have the experience. Very young girl, doesn't have the experience, and they gave him that. I said, he will not be able to carry it out. So I wanted to go and tell them, and the Lord said to me, sit down here. And I sat down, he said, I chose that girl. He said, I want you to leave this place, go there and tell him, I submit to you. He said, if you don't do that, you won't go to the next phase of your call. I'm not kidding. So, you think I wasted time? If you feel, will you waste time? No, I went. I said, hey, I called her name. It's a white girl. Very young girl. I said, I came to tell you that I'm submitted to you. Anything you say. She was laughing. She was like, really? I said, yeah. Then the Lord told me something that amazed me. Amazing. Look, God sees differently from us. He said to me, I'm not looking for a big pastor, you know. He said, see that girl? He said, no, she's a white girl. And she's Caucasian, real Caucasian. I said, yeah. He said, do you see how she honors the husband? He said, you know that Caucasian women will not have too many children. He said, but this woman, if the husband wants children, she was having them willingly. He said, don't you notice that? And did you see how she will carry the children? She won't. He said, did you notice that? I said, I did. He said, when you come for meetings, listen, all of you. He said, when you come for meeting, do you leave before they finish? I said, that's not faithfulness. He said, does she leave? I said, no, she stayed to the end. He said, He said, didn't you read the scripture? A faithful man who will find. He said, I'm looking for a faithful man. He said, when they come for meetings, he comes on time. He stays to the end. I said, yeah. He said, do you stay to the end? I said, no. He said, that's not faithfulness. I'm telling you. He said, that's not faithfulness. Then he said, when the girl talks, does she talk in love? I said, yeah. He said, when you talk, do you talk in love? I said, no. He said, see why I chose her? Because my spirit flows through her. Doesn't hinder my spirit. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Yeah. I'm telling you. You see, communion with God will show you the heart of God. He will make you see things that you don't see from your human understanding. He will interpret life from his point of view. And when he does that, you can now walk in tandem with him. Immediately after that, we bought this place. Immediately after that, God moved in a spectacular, you know the way we bought here? Not, many of you didn't even know what happened. In a spectacular manner. In a very mighty, spectacular manner. We moved and God, no effort, no stress, nothing. We got this place. And paid 1.something million. In fact, we borrowed 2.something million with no collateral. We didn't put down penny. Penny. Tell me it's not a miracle. Go and get it, let me see. We got 2.3 million. No, we didn't have penny to put down, and they gave it to us. It doesn't happen. That's God. It was after that. He said, if you don't do this, the next one won't happen. That's what Jesus said. My Father tells me what he does. Because I commune with, I know that I can of my own do nothing. So I depend on his instruction. All that communion with him. There are things that look good you want to do, and God says, don't do that. Don't do that. That's why I keep telling people, I say, if you are really in communion with the Holy Spirit, you don't need to be told about Bible studies and things. He will tell you. He will tell you what to pray for about that Bible study, because that's his program. Brethren, I've never thought of not going to church. It never crossed my mind. Even if I have to walk there, even if I have fever, I'll go to church, because that's a hospital. I've gone to teach Bible studies with my mouth, with fever. And I walked there, I didn't even have echo. And I would sit down, I say, in Jesus' name, amen, the fever will go. That's like that. You know, the Lord will tell you, he'll give you prayer topics, tell you what to pray about. Your prayer will not be all this casting demons out. It will tell you why something is happening. And most times it's not certain. Praise the Lord. Do you know a whole church can be praying for something and God will come and tell only one person, say, don't join them. He won't tell the others. Because this person follows his way. Say, don't join them. But the others are not used to following him, so he leaves them alone. He leaves them alone. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. There was a point in my life, if I put my hand on you, if it's demonic something, I have electric shock. It will come here. All my body will be vibrating, but you won't see it. You won't know. Immediately, I will know it's demonic something. But if I put here and there's no vibration, I know it's not demonic. You won't see it. In fact, once I come near you, you'll be making like electricity. All my body. You won't notice. I'll be standing normal. You won't see anything. You won't see anything. But he signals you that that's demon. And then you wait for him to instruct you what to do. Because his demon doesn't mean you jump into it, no. You wait. The son can of his own do nothing. Can do nothing. You can't cast out demon. Can't do nothing. He has to instruct you. Sometimes he will tell you don't do anything. Sometimes we tell you speak to that spirit. Sometimes we tell you this is the reason that spirit is there. And unless that thing happens, that spirit won't go. You need him. Look, you and I, we can of our own do what? Zero. Absolutely zero. And when we walk in this hour, on this our religious jingoism thing, that's what they do. Brethren, let's bind and loose. Who told you to bind and loose? They were doing Olympics here in Mexico. Then some Christians were giving out tracts and people were throwing the tracts at them. Nobody received that. So they went to the Lord and said, Lord, nobody is receiving our tracts. The Lord told them, there's a demon resisting you there. And they asked the Lord, how do you want to deal with this demon? He said, you people go, you see that place that they are entering the stadium near? He said, I want you to go there and kneel down. Don't talk to anybody. Don't give tracts. Keep the tracts around. Just kneel down and be worshiping me. He said, humble yourself. He said, that's what will break that pride. Just humble yourself. The power of that pride will go. While they were there worshiping God, people were picking the same tracks they were throwing away the previous day. They packed the before the people were coming and picking the same tracks they were throwing away the previous day. No binding, no losing, nothing. Because we can of our own do. So that communion, that prayer for communion, that Jesus said, pray always so you don't enter into temptation. So that you'll be counted worthy to escape these things. Because God will instruct you the way you will go. He will tell you what to send your children to school. He will tell you, don't send. When Kenny was small, my wife was driving newly. So I told her, I said, this morning, I'm not driving you. Here is the key. Here is the car. And here is your son. Take him to school. So she looked at me. I said, yeah, you're going to drive today alone. And she did. So she started taking Kenny to one school, one Roman Catholic school. Listen to how communion helps. As they were entering, the Lord said to her, what will you tell this boy those images are? That's what they asked her. I said, I cannot be represented with images made by man's hand. I'm a spirit. I'm not a human being. What will you teach this boy that those images are? My wife turned around, took Kenneth, go back into the car and left. But that's why people go and dump their children. Dump their children. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he what? Direct your path. It's important that we know, you and I know, that the spirit life is key. And he's the one living it. He's the one directing it. He's the power behind it. He's the wisdom behind it. He's everything. If you want him to be everything, then you stop being everything. You just keep quiet. You know, I can't do anything. So, Lord, how do you want to? I ask him, I say, Lord, what do you want to do? Most of the time we're in service. I just keep quiet, singing, and I'm just saying, Lord, what do you want to do? 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 Because I don't pastor you. He pastors all of us. Amen? So Jesus was always communing with the Father. And let's look at other Christians. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras. A member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus sends you his what? It is. He always, what does he do? Always what? Prays earnestly for you. You see, the prayer is an earnest prayer. Because he wants God to do this. It's not what he prays to because they say, make we. You see, Sunday prayer in churches is not my thing. Because I see that people pray to fulfill all righteousness. Most people. If you don't pray in your closet, you can't pray in church. If you don't pray in your closet, if they tell let us pray in church, you'll be mumbling, your mind won't be there. Because you are not used to praying. Most prayer churches in prayer, people are waiting for pastor to come. That's not true. You should be praying. The Bible says, if any man is sick, let him, if any man is afflicted, let him pray. But you see, that 3 minutes, 5 minutes, something, it's not enough for you. It's not enough for you. It's just, you know, we do it because we come to church. I was doing it before, but the Lord said to me, say, give them time to pray. How was I doing before? No. He said, give them time to pray. And I said, Lord, okay, you want it, we pray. And we start praying. I said, in Jesus' name, let's hear the word of God. Because the real deal is that one you pray in your closet, where you lock the door. It's only you. That one you pray in your car. That's you talking to God in the toilet. It's important to you. That's why you can't stop. You're talking to him in your toilet, your car, in your office. You're talking. Nobody knows, but you're talking to him. It's important. It's consuming to you. You want it done. You want God. That's prayer. This prayer that doesn't go deeper than skin. It's mountain words. The thing is not important to you. If it's important to you, this is it. A member of your fellowship and the servant of Christ Jesus sends you his greetings. He always prays how? I didn't hear you. How? Come on, I want to hear you. How? Honestly for you. Always asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. Brethren, this is a Christian like me. This is what keeps him awake in the night. Praying like this. And then if he's praying like this for others, then he should pray like this for himself. You see why living the spirit life, prayer is so key to it. Honest prayer is something you are in pursuit of with all your heart. Have you ever want to borrow something, you don't have money, then you know this sister will give you. You go early in the morning before she leaves. When you go, you really want the way, all your body language, everything is saying, sister, please help me. It's not casual. There's no casual thing about it. All your heart is saying, Lord, except you do this, nobody else do it. You pray from your heart. Sometimes you groan in your spirit. You pray with a real desire. That's prayer. Are we going somewhere? Are we on the same page? See, all this fulfill our righteousness prayer, it won't work. It doesn't work. It has never worked. So that's just make what they do. Colossians 1:6. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from who? From who? From who? Did you see this Epaphras was the one praying? It's the same man. It's the same man that was praying. Look at what he's doing. He's preaching this gospel. Look at this man. You've learned about this good news from who? Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He's Christ's faithful servant. He's helping us on your behalf. He's not called pastor. Not called, no, but he's laboring in. I told somebody, I said, do you know the word laboring in prayer? It's not because you labor as such. It's you are working. It's a way to serve Jesus when you pray in intercession for the church. For the individuals, you pray for Bible studies, you pray for Sunday school, you pray for Life Center, you pray for. You are laboring in the vineyard of God. He calls it, he said, he's helping us on your behalf. by his prayer. Okay, continue. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has what? You see, because of the prayer, God is working. God is really working. And let's go. So we have not stopped what? You see, so we two joined. We have not stopped. We didn't say, because of what he said, praise the Lord, that's the end. No, he said, we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to what? Give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and what? Understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruits. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. You see, Paul said, we joined in that prayer for you. Because prayer is key to living the spirit life. It's very important. So you pray this kind of prayer for your family, for your children, for the church. You pray for yourself too. And then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. Can we read verse 10 together? 1, 2, go. Amen. I said amen. You know, when we started this church, one day the Lord came to me and said, who is praying for this church? So me and my wife started, we became the prayer, and we started to pray for the church, both of us. And then recently he told me, he said, the Lord is asking me that question again. Who is praying for this church? It is our job to pray for this church. Every Christian God led to this building. You have a responsibility to stop being selfish and pray for the things of God. If you are in any ministry, it's not reserved only for the leaders. Once you are a member of that ministry, you have an assignment to pray for your leader, pray for that ministry. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you pray for your teacher. Pray. God wants people to pray. Just pray. Can I hear amen? Pastor Victor. Be thou exalted, O Lord, above all.